Hey, how's it going? It's Eden from X-23-9 Overnights, and thanks for listening to the What's New Now podcast. I don't know how the stars aligned to allow this event to occur in my life, but I am very soon to be joined by Matthew and Nathan Followill, lead guitarist and drummer in the band Kings of Leon. I've got a brand new record called Can We Please Have Fun out now. I hope you enjoy. Hey, how's it going?
Hello.
Dude, it's kind of a hell of a way to start my workday. Like, I won't lie. I wanted to start with the name of the album. The title, Can We Please Have Fun, just feels like so spot on for the year 2024. Sometimes it feels like you just have to ask for it. But I did think the record played with this idea of making an effort to acknowledge when you are in the good old days. How's that going if the good old days are the year 2024?
Ooh, I mean, I think it's kind of hard not to have fun right now, considering the last few years, especially. I mean, I just look at the difference in the world with the record release of this one versus the last one. I mean, our record before this, we had to shelve it for a year and a half, almost 2 years before it came out, due to the pandemic and all of that stuff. So when it came time to make this, I think we were so anxious to get in there and just make another record to just redo that whole process and actually make it an enjoyable process. And we had so much fun making this record that when it came time to, you know, put that as the title, I mean, that was kind of like the general theme throughout the whole entire process of making this record. Caleb was just like, guys, let's just have fun with this one. Like, you know, there was no pressure on us. We were out of our record deal, so there was no pressure of that at the end of the record, them coming in at the last second, like, oh, we don't like this one, we don't like that one. So we just had this freedom that we had never really had before. And I think that freedom just translated to fun for us, because it was like, our parents are gone, we're home for the weekend all alone. Like, we can throw a party, let's go. And that's kind of how this whole record was for me, was the parents were out of town and we just got to do whatever we wanted to do. And luckily, based on what I've seen so far, I'm very happy and thrilled with, you know, the way people are liking this new record. It's pretty rad.
Oh, absolutely rad. In fact, one of my favorite songs on the record is the opening track, Ballerina Radio. The imagery in that song, right off the bat, it just felt so like seamlessly immersive. And that was something I was really kind of delighted to find was the case throughout the record. I felt like every song really did a great job of just flowing right into the next one. Can you talk a little bit about what it's like to try to make the order of songs on an album? Like, once you figure out what you want on the record, how do you go about arranging them?
When we started pre-production, when we ended pre-production, we had like 18 ideas, we just got in the studio and we would just play them and we would see what was working. And then we would just, and because the whole kind of motto was like, can we please have fun? And like staying positive, we wouldn't like stay on one thing past its like prime or whatever. We would just like, we would work on it and we would get it to what we could. And then if it wasn't working, we would just move on to the next song. So we stayed really positive the whole time. The producer helped a lot, you know, cause he has his opinion on what's good and what we should continue working on. But you mentioned Ballerina Radio and, that was one of my favorites when we did that. I was like really hoping that it would make it, it'd be the first song. I really wanted it to be the first song. And then there was some sequences going around and it wasn't first for a long time. And then I was pretty sad. And then one day everyone just kind of agreed like, yeah, it should be the first song. And I think it's that like fantastic opener and just really gets you ready for the rest of the album.
The last three songs we recorded on the record were Mustang, Split Screen, and Ballerina Radio. So it was pretty cool for me. Ballerina Radio just kind of was special to me because that was the last one we had worked on. So it was still fresh. And then when I found out that that was the first one on the record, I was like, amazing. Because you look at the record, you want your bookends. You want to know what starts the record, what ends the record. Then you slowly kind of, you know, build it through there. But the Wind Chimes at the beginning of Ballerina Radio and then at the end of Scene, that was kind of our bookend of the record to kind of tie that in. And those are Wind Chimes that we recorded from the front porch of the studio we did in the woods in the middle of nowhere in Tennessee.
Oh, dang. That's a cool detail. It's interesting that it worked out that way, that it might not have been the opening track. Did a lot of it move around, or did you have like some idea of how you wanted it to progress?
It could usually happen where you'll have four songs where you're like, okay, this song has to definitely come after that one. You do that to four songs, you've got eight songs in the record that are kind of already roughly, loosely kind of put together. So that's kind of the blueprint you start out with, is your bookends, and then what songs go great directly after the song before that one. That's kind of big for us as well.
We're kind of just all on the same page on this record. We had like an inspirational playlist, and so we were kind of all listening to the same stuff. And creatively, we were all just kind of there for it and ready to just like let it flow through us all, you know? So I don't know. It just kind of happened, you know, in the room, and we work off of each other really well. And we all really, I think, ultimately want to just kind of inspire each other, and we want, you know, kind of the compliments from each other. You know, when we do something, we want to hear like, oh, that's great, do that, you know. So we really work for those moments, and we were just all on the same page, and it was just really fun, and we just, you know, we allowed ourselves to stay really positive through it all. And
my Michael Bublé song did not make it on the inspiration list for some reason.
Man, who's nixing Michael Bublé?
I won't tell you which band member, but my naughty list for Christmas this year.
So I wanted to ask, it's your ninth studio record. Was this your first time working with producer Kid Harpoon?
Well, yes and no, because during the making of this record, we had no idea. He's like, do y'all remember back in 2005 or 2006 when y'all did an in-store for HMV in London? And we're like, no earthly way I would remember that far back. Like, no. He's like, I was the store manager, and I like set that whole thing up for y'all. Like, I was your like point person for that whole day. So we'd kind of worked together.
I've never heard that story. We need to back
this. This is the first time you're hearing that?
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah.
Was he someone that you had your eye on, that you knew you wanted to work with, either for this album in particular or just in general?
We had initially started out, we were just going to do a song with Kid. We had two or three producers we'd put our feelers out on, and we were going to do one or two songs with them, see who we meshed with, who we vibe with, and then kind of move from there. And Kid Harpoon, we're friends with Harry Styles, so he did Harry's record. So I'm like, Harry, how's Kid like in the city? He's like, greatest guy ever, like, sweetheart, you guys are gonna love him. Like, I'm like, okay. And so we had the same manager as well, and so it was kind of an in-house thing. So we met him, we played a show in London at the O2, and he came before the show, and we hung out for like 5 minutes. So just enough to like cordial, hi, how's it going, nice to meet you, but not really enough to like get a vibe on somebody. So he came to Nashville, and we're like, okay, we're gonna do one song. And I mean, halfway through day one, we were like, all right, get your book out. We're gonna schedule this whole record now. We had other projects booked. So this record was kind of broken up into, what would you say, Matt? Three sessions, three or four, like three weeks here, a week off, 2.5 weeks here, 4 days off, 3 weeks, a week off kind of thing. But, in a way, that kind of helped because it gave us a chance to live with the music for a second and then go back in like, okay, versus, okay, you've got tonight to live with this because tomorrow we start on another song, and, you know, you just continue on that way.
There's something about his music too, this, that he produces, that it has this kind of pop quality with a little bit of edge and like a little bit of an indie sound. And there was just something that we, that's great there, that we gravitated to. And man, he really killed it. So,
and we got him before he won all of his Grammys. So we got him at the pre-Grammy rate, and we locked him in for any future records at the pre-Grammy rate. So,
oh my goodness. Listen, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I also don't want to sound passive aggressive, but just letting you know, we've all got our fingers crossed for a Colorado stop sometime soon.
There's a two round tour. Well, we don't ever miss Colorado.
Oh, shucks. All right. Well, thank you so much. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the What's New Now podcast. Like, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your general acquaintances, just throwing out some suggestions. And listen to the brand new Kings of Leon record, Can We Please Have Fun?